us pray. Father, we just want to express our deep gratitude for the revelation that you revealed through your Son Jesus and through the Scripture. You know, from your special revelations, you know, Jesus, your Son, and the Scripture, we can see your overarching plan for the whole universe. We confess that Jesus Christ is the author of our life and anchor of our soul, and He is a Redeemer, and yet He is the best friend. We acknowledge that you know, our life is set because your lordship and your friendship. We just want to thank you for that, and may this worship continue to be given to you. And we ask your Holy Spirit to help us to understand your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me start with the story of two friends. You know, the two friends went camping in the woods. They liked each other, and this was an opportunity for them to get closer, to be the best friend to each other. As the evening was approaching, they set the fire and began grilling their beef over the gas burner they brought. It sure smelled so good, and it was a beautiful night with thick trees around. And as they were ready to eat their well-grilled beef, they heard rustling in the bushes. You know, coming toward them was a gigantic grizzly bear with a hungry look on his face. And one of the friends started pulling his shoes to run away. And his friend turned to him and said, "You don't think you can outrun that grizzly bear, do you?" "No," the man said, "I don't need to. All I have to do is outrun you." You know, this is what people call friendship these days. You know, if you are looking for a friend who is not like the friend in this story, but who really can be trusted and reliable, actually, you already have one. And this friend is no one but Jesus himself. You know, Jesus is our Savior, Lord, and Son of God and Messiah. And He's a divine Son of God. But moreover, Jesus is your friend. You know, why is that? We'll find out from Gospel of John 15 today. If you will, would you please turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. We are going to read verses 13 through 15. John 15, 13. "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer I call you slave, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." You know, this portion of the John's Gospel is a part of John 13 through 17, you know, which is known as the Upper Room Discourse. You know, John designated these four chapters to tell us what Jesus was telling to his disciples only. So this is very important part of John's Gospel. And before Jesus was crucified, he spoke so many things to his disciples, and one of which is about friendship. You know, by saying verse 13, "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends," Jesus is basically declaring that he is the one who lays down his life for his disciples. And that his disciples are called his friend. This is very unthinkable thing because Jesus was rabbi, teacher, and the disciples were just a student or followers. But Jesus called them the friends, which is unthinkable thing in Judaism. You know, we know that within 24 hours from this story, Jesus will be crucified on the cross. And who'd have thought Jesus can be a friend to his disciples? Can God be a friend to man? You know, many people have tried to define what friendship is. Among them are William Shakespeare. He said, "A friend is one that knows you as you are, understand where you have been, and accepts where you have become, and still gently allows you to grow." A good, you know, quote, isn't it? And Henry Ford, he said, "My best friend is the one who brings out the best in me." Another good quote. And Albert Hubbard said, "A friend is someone who knows all about you and still loves you." Another good quote. But from these quotes, we know that it is hard to be a good friend, or it is hard to find a good friend. You know, to be a good friend, you have to have patience, understanding, and acceptance and love. And none of this quote is close to how Jesus described him as being a friend to his disciples. "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." You know, what Jesus is basically saying here is that love, agape, is clearly the key attribute of friendship, the true friendship, and that love is also an action. And no action of friendship is greater than laying down the life of a man for the sake of his friend. So we know that Jesus regards his disciples, and not only his disciples, but also each of his believers as his friend. And, you know, when Jesus said, verse 13, disciples may not have known what Jesus was talking about, but within 24 hours, they knew what Jesus meant because they saw Jesus crucified. So who are friends of Jesus? Disciples were clearly friends of Jesus according to Jesus as he gave his life for them. Moreover, Jesus is a friend to all sinners for whom he gave his own life as a ransom. So if you believe that Jesus died for you, actually Jesus is not only a redeemer for you, but also your friend. So we call Jesus redeemer friend. I don't know, how many friends do you have? Can you think of any of your friends who would give away his or her life for you? And if you cannot think of anyone in the realm, then Jesus is by far the best friend for you and for me. Do you agree with that? Amen? Amen. You know, in the story I shared earlier on, if Jesus were the other person, the other friend who saw his friend running away from the camping site, Jesus would have said, "Yes, please run faster. I will stay here to face the bear so that I would give you more time to run away. Run, run, my friend." That's exactly what Jesus would have done if he were there, seeing his friend running away from the camping site to save his own life. But Jesus is willing to offer his own life so that he would save him. How many friends do you have? You have at least one, right? From today and on, if you didn't know that Jesus is your friend. And indeed, Jesus is your best friend. You know, I love this hymns, which is called "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." I think Jeff probably knows this hymn, right? This hymn was actually a poem written by Joseph Scriven, written in 1855. It says, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear, and what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit, or what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer." This is a beautiful hymn, and I think this poem reflects well, what a friend Jesus we have. Let's go back to our text, look at verse 14 and 15. "You are my friends if you do what I command you. And no longer I call you slave, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things I have heard from my Father I have known to you." So we know that from Jesus' perspective, we are his friend. But it is another thing that if we are Jesus' friend or not, from our perspective. In the illustration I gave early on, the friend who was running away from the campsite is clearly not a true friend to the other guy. But the other guy, if he decided to stay there to face the bear to give his running friend a time to run, then this guy is a true friend to the running man. If that is the case, we know that friendship is not always two-way. One friend is a true friend to the other, but the other friend may not be necessarily a true friend to this guy. But in this episode, Jesus is giving disciples an opportunity to have their friendship with him in two-way. And look at verse 15, first of all. "No longer I call you slave, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you." Jesus is contrasting slave and friends. Slaves are passive followers of their master without knowing the intent of their master. Why? Because their master would not necessarily share his intent to his slave. The master just gave an order to their slave, and slave just has to do without knowing the intent of the master. But Jesus is saying, "You're not slave anymore because I share all the things that I know that I learned from my Father." So Jesus basically revealed all the truths and knowledge that he knew and shared that with his disciples. And his disciples has written the gospel books that we have. So we now know the intent of Jesus and his Father. There's nothing that he did not reveal. Each and every knowledge that he learned from his Father has been shared with us through the gospel books. So from that sense, Jesus trusted you and me as he trusted his disciples to carry on. And this relationship of trust is called friendship. Jesus didn't hide anything that he could have, but he revealed instead. And look at verse 14. "And you are my friends if you do what I command you." So Jesus is saying this, I share all my knowledge with you because I trust you. So you are my friend. But that's not the end of it. But you can be my friend if you do what I command you. So Jesus is giving an opportunity for two-way friendship. You know, we don't want to have a relationship with Jesus as one way, from Jesus to us. But Jesus desires us the same relationship from us to him, so that this will be a two-way friendship relationship. And Jesus said, you are my disciple, if you are my friend if you do what I command. What is command of Jesus? Basically, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus' command is nothing but loving God, loving him, and loving people. And if we do that, Jesus said, you are my friend. So let's think about this. There is no doubt that Jesus himself is our friend who loves us, who shares his knowledge with us. He revealed all the truths that he knows with us. So Jesus is indeed the best friend to each one of us, and he laid down his life for each one of us as a ransom. And no friend in this world would be able to match the friendship of Jesus. You know, when you discover the heart of your friend who cares about you, how do you feel? You know, each time I go to Korea, I don't go to Korea often, but each time I go, there is one friend I meet. He is my high school buddy. Last time I was in Korea, he was there in the airport to pick me up. I said, you know, don't come. You know, I'll take, you know, KTX to go to Seoul station, and then from there I can take taxi to meet you. But, you know, he knew my airplane time, and, you know, lo and behold, he was there. He's busy, but he made, you know, his time to meet up with me. You know, to be honest, I have no practical value to him as I live in USA and he lives in Korea. And there are not much I can do for him. And yet he always makes his time to meet up with me and escort me to good places and good restaurants and so on. You know, knowing his heart and action of affection, I always want to reciprocate my friendship with him, if I could. So I think Jesus is thinking about the beauty of two-way friendship relationship here. As he gave away all he got to us, he actually wants us to reciprocate this friendship relationship from our part to him, so that this relationship would be made perfect. So let's think about first what Jesus did for us. He shares his knowledge so that you would understand his heart and his intent. So he opened bare what's in his heart and in his mind, and share that knowledge with us. Actually, this is an amazing thing. There are not many people who really open up and try to make transparent relationship, revealing all their thought and mind with their friends. You know, Word of God in particular, especially the gospel books, are the books where we can clearly know the life purpose of Jesus and the Father's intent. And Jesus shares all this amazing truth. You know, a lot of people say Moses may not be a historical figure. You know what Jesus said? Actually, Moses, you know, account, you know, he actually acknowledged what Moses is written is God's word. So he acknowledged those things. So he revealed something nobody can reveal. And he said, you know, Pentateuch, the five books of Moses are genuine books of God. You know, there are many, many things that he revealed. And among them are the Holy Spirit. You know, we would not have known this knowledge of Holy Spirit unless Jesus revealed in John 14 and 16. Jesus said he will send another paraclete, another helper like him. You know, from that we know that this another helper has same attribute as Jesus himself. That's why Holy Spirit is God. You know, Trinity, Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and the Spirit, they are essentially of, you know, divine nature. So that's how we know the theology of Trinity came from, because Jesus revealed that to us. And the gospel books, Matthew, Mark, John, Luke, are life manuals for us, as Jesus shared his secrets with us. He really did not have to reveal all those, you know, secrets that he had shared with his own Father, but he did so that we would be able to trust him. And the second thing Jesus did for us, he reveals the truth so that you'd know the overarching purpose of our life. He reveals the truth so that we would know the overarching purpose of our life. You know, Jesus said, before the foundation of the world, his Father and he share the glory. Basically, he's declaring that he is not one of the creation, but rather he is the creator. And Jesus shared that, you know, the truth, so that we would understand the overarching purpose of our own life. You know, when people share their truth, it does not always give us upbeat feeling. But the truth Jesus shares with us always gives us conviction and encouragement, as he deals with the most important thing of our life. You know, even today he talks about true friendship. If you are alone or if you are lonely, Jesus is saying to you, I am your dear friend. You know, you have my trust and you can rely on me. I'll take you to the next step. The word of Jesus liberates us, and his truth gives us a life purpose. And he said, he is with us forever. He didn't say he will be with us forever. He is with us forever, even now. And suddenly, he respects you and me to be his friend. This is an amazing thing. You know, when you do Facebook, if somebody want to be your friend or followers, do you always agree? You know, in the LinkedIn, I use LinkedIn, and a lot of people send me invite. I don't always, you know, accept their invitation. You know, I'm a bad guy. I kind of look at their faces and what they're looking for. And I don't always, you know, accept their invitation. You know, I'm such a bad guy, right? But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus actually actively sent invitation to each one of us so that he would be our friend. He would be the person who cares about us. You know, as God, Jesus looks at each one of us as a person who was made in his image. He would do anything to restore the image of God from each one of us. That's why I believe he would give away his life, and indeed he did, to restore God's image. You know, our image in Genesis says, image of the Father, Son, and the Spirit, to be restored. That is his maximum joy, to put us back into the Garden of Eden. You know, we are made to be holy and perfect. Actually, Adam and Eve were the only, you know, the holy and perfect being before they committed the sin. So we are made to be God's companion, and one and the only creature God made in his image. And Jesus sees each one of us as his image and has no problem to consider you and me as his friend. And he respects you to be his friend. Because we share his image innate. He tried to restore that image we lost in our sin. I don't know what kind of friendship you have with your friends. But one thing is clear. You have Jesus, who is by far your best friend, I can declare. Without knowing your friends, I don't have to know all your friends, but by far, he is the best friend for you and me. You may not have known this truth, but today you know it, and you can cultivate a deeper relationship with him. And you may not have experienced this friendship with Jesus before, but now you can enter friendship with Jesus from your side. And so this is three things what Jesus did for us. But now let's think about what we can do to Jesus to make our relationship, our friendship with Jesus, a two-way relationship. The first is value the presence of Jesus above all else. This is one of the things we can do to cultivate our friendship with Jesus. You know, value him or his presence above all else. You know, give your quality time to him, basically. You know, it's not bad that you can listen to, you know, audio Bible while you are driving. You know, it's better than not doing that. But it might be better that you just sit on your, you know, room, your study or your living room, and designate that place and set apart your time to have a quiet time with Jesus. That would be valuing the presence of Jesus above all else. I know everyone is busy, but even in the midst of that busy schedule, you know, if we slice that, you know, chunk of time and place only for Jesus, you know, that's one of the way that we can cultivate relationship with Jesus. And hear his word and pray in his name, listen to what he has to say, and give your attentive ear, and enjoy his presence, of, you know, most of all, and worship him. Enjoy his presence, that's the thing. That'll give you satisfaction that nothing else or no one else can give that satisfaction. As you value him and honor him and worship him and talk to him. And the second thing is to get down a little bit more deeper. Share your secret with Jesus. You know, Jesus shared his secret with you through the Bible. And now it is our turn to share our secret with him. Don't stay superficial. You know, just like, oh, Lord, I'm a sinner, please forgive me. Jesus already knows that you're a sinner, and he has already forgiven you. That's a very superficial statement. But express, confess. Hey, Jesus, today, you know, I had this thing, you know, I don't know why I feel this way, but please correct me. You know, and the degree of friendship is measured by the depth of shared knowledge the friends are willing to share to each other. And Jesus shared his old deep thinking. You know, Jesus even said, you know, I'm in agony, you know, and it is in the Bible, John chapter 17, and also Matthew, you know, Gethsemane prayer. He actually expressed his agony to his father. It's recorded in the Bible. And we know what he's thinking, what he went through, you know, deep down. And likewise, if we share our deep secret, deep confession with him, I think he would, love that relationship. And have a casual conversation with him. You know, prayer doesn't have to be formal. You know, you can just have a casual conversation as if you talk to your spouse or your friend or your customer. You can actually have that relationship with him. And third thing, tell others about Jesus. This is one of the important ways to cultivate our friendship with Jesus. You know, what would you do if you admire your friend? Wouldn't you want to, you know, share about your friend with other friends? You know, Jesus is indeed our best friend. And tell others about his goodness and his love and affection and his mercy and grace. And Jesus wouldn't be more pleased when you share goodness about him to others. Actually, this is called mission. You know, he said he will be, you know, going back to his Father, and he sent his Holy Spirit to us so that we would be able to witness him. So he would feel good and pleased when we share goodness about him. He came to minister to us. Now it is our turn to minister to others with the message of Jesus, our friend. This is what Jesus meant when he said, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." Basically, that command is, you shall love Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. It's basically loving God, loving Jesus, and loving others. That way, you know, we are his friends. Let's pray. Our Father, just want to thank you that we can have friendship with Jesus, your Son. May your Holy Spirit help us to really get into deep fellowship and deep friendship with Jesus, your Son, to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer slave to fear. I am a child of God. My mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again to your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer slave to fear. Oh, You rescue me so I can stand and see. I am a child of God. You split the sea. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescue me so I could stand and see. I am a child of God. I'm no longer slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer slave to fear. I am a child of God. I am a child of God.
Father, just want to acknowledge that there's nothing in this world that can separate us from your love. And Lord Jesus, there's nothing in this world that can separate us from your friendship with us. We just want to thank you, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. May our day, as we go out to this world, be a series of moments where we continue to worship you, continue to have conversation with you, continue to cultivate a deep relationship with you, so that all the fears that we may have be cast out in the name of Jesus. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our Father who is in heaven, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forever.